Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the big sky. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, Talcum X is back. Oh, man, that was one of the funniest lines. We had a phone call from Tim in Billings. That was several years ago now. I forget what we were talking about. It was something, it was probably some BLM-related thing. It was this BLM activist, you know, this racist activist who was, you know, doing some anti-white, anti-Christian nonsense. I forget what it was at the time. And then, of course, the head of the African American Studies Department, a white guy at the University of Montana at the time, brings in Talcum X to be their speaker. But it was so funny because this guy, I don't know, did they ever get to the bottom of this? But this guy, Sean King is his name. He apparently lied about being black, but he's actually a white dude. So that's why Tim and Billings called him Talcum X. But he was this big BLM, anti-police, nonsensical activist. Anyway, Talcum X is back in the news. You know, this really escalated quickly with our friends on the left. I mean, look, I know we're harsh on Joe Biden's corruption. We've been harsh on Joe Biden's, you know, crime family. We've been harsh on Joe Biden's policies and how devastating, how awful they were for this country. But here's the thing, you know, most Republicans, most conservatives have this Judeo-Christian ethic, this biblical ethic that you don't just pray for your leaders if they're good leaders. You pray for your leaders if they're bad leaders, too. You're just supposed to pray for your leaders. And not only that, but you're supposed to pray for your enemies, even if they're political enemies, maybe especially if they're political enemies. And so you might despise their policies, but when your political opponents get diagnosed with cancer, you know what I'm saying? I sent out this tweet about a half an hour ago as I was doing my show prep. I saw this story at thedailycaller.com. I said, man, Republicans, Trump, conservatives have all been fairly gracious to a man who did awful things to this country, like Joe Biden. Meanwhile, here's the left. Rot in hell and rest in piss. Whoa. Rot in hell and rest in piss. First off, do these folks on the left believe in heaven and hell? And instead of rest in peace, they say rest in piss. The far left celebrates Biden's cancer. See, now you and I despise what Joe Biden did to this country, despise what he did to America, despise the fact that he opened up our borders for this invasion of tens of millions of criminal illegal aliens. We despise what he did to our economy. We despise what he did with the weaponization of government. We despise what he did to the whole world, frankly, and what he did to get us off the path of peace. But what do they despise? They loved all that. They loved the whole, you know, taking away freedoms of everyday law-abiding American citizens. Ah, the left loved that. The whole of opening the borders for this criminal illegal. They loved that. But they hate Joe Biden so much because they blame Joe Biden for delivering the 47th president of the United States of America, Donald J. Trump, once again. So they blame Joe Biden for that. They blame Joe Biden for that. So yeah, they're saying just some of the nastiest things ever. Talcum X.
Here's a look at your Montana weather.
Sorry,
for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine developing with high temperatures in the upper 50s to near that 60-degree mark for Bozeman with mid-60s for Billings. For tonight, partly cloudy skies in the upper 30s to near 40. Thursday, a chance for some afternoon showers, mid-60s for Bozeman, but low 70s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Securing America.
Once fully operational, President Trump says the Golden Dome will be capable of intercepting missiles fired from around the world or launched from space.
It's an evil world out there, so this is something that goes a long way toward the survival of this great country.
Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth calls the system a game changer.
It's a generational investment in the security of America and Americans.
President Trump says he's allocating $25 billion as initial funding in the reconciliation package being negotiated by Republicans. He says the full project will total $175 billion and will be operational in about 3 years. But the Congressional Budget Office projects a much larger cost over the next few decades. Military leaders and policymakers have warned about emerging threats from hypersonic and space-based weapons from adversaries like Russia and China. At the White House, Jared Halpern, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in. This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls. The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Donald Trump's America.
In Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, President Trump announced a $600 billion economic agreement. In Doha, Qatar, he announced an even bigger deal.
In addition to our agreement that will lead to the $1.2 trillion in economic activity before we even start about the big Boeing deal and all of the other deals that we talked about.
While in Saudi Arabia, he announced he'd like to lift sanctions on Syria. Then he met with Syria's interim president, Ahmed al-Sharaa. In both places, he mentioned his concern with Iran. In Saudi Arabia, he said Iran cannot be allowed to obtain a nuclear weapon. In Doha, he asked for help in dealing with Iran.
Well, I want to thank you and Prime Minister and everybody else for the help you've given us. And in turn, we'll do things for you that I think you'll be very, very happy about.
During this trip, the U.S. Treasury Department announced new sanctions on 12 entities and 6 individuals, mostly in China and Hong Kong, for supporting Iran's ballistic missile program, in part with critical minerals. Jessica Rosenthal, Fox News.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Okay, there we go. Now my microphone's on. All right, I didn't hear the bumper music there, so I talked right into the weather report there. All that stuff's supposed to be automated, so yeah, you guys know how it goes. It's like you can you can do everything you're supposed to do, and these computer systems, all this stuff, crazy, almost as crazy as these far left activists. Yeah, Sean King. That's Talcum X. That's who Tim and Billings referred to as Talcum X. It's a talcum powder reference for the young kids listening to the show right now. You know, it's a white powder. Anyway, Sean King, a Black Lives Matter activist and former Bernie Sanders campaign surrogate, he responded to Joe Biden's cancer diagnosis, basically saying that he wants Joe Biden to be in pain. He wrote this on Sunday. I don't think he just left church, but he wrote this on Sunday. Never in my life have I cared less about someone having an aggressive form of cancer than I do about Joe Biden. That's what Talcum X wrote on Sunday evening. He says, quote, I hate him. He's a genocidal monster, and I hope his final days are painful. Talcum X concluded. There was another leftist streamer, Hassan Piker, jumped in, basically, you know, calling Joe Biden a war criminal, etc. Joe Biden is an awful monster. Prostate cancer doesn't change that. So that really escalated quickly with our friends on the left. See, they despise Joe Biden for really what they despise Joe Biden for is because they see him as responsible for losing the White House, for losing the power for the far left activists that were using Joe Biden as a puppet for all those years. Speaking of Joe Biden, my goodness, I had to go back and listen to it a second time. A, because it was that good, but B, because speaking of computers, I'm recording the audio of Jesse Waters' segment last night as I watched it, because it was just such a great segment where he was talking about, you know, Megyn Kelly's interview with Jake Tapper, and then Mark Halpern did an interview with Joe Scarborough from MSNBC, and basically everybody's saying, okay, how can you claim you didn't know how bad Joe Biden was, how bad of condition Joe Biden was in here? And then, of course, my computer froze up on me, and then I lost the whole recording. So I had to go back and listen to it again because there were just several great highlights in Jesse Waters' program last night. Let's start with this one. And I could have grabbed this myself because I shared the full thing on X last night. So Jon Stewart, you guys know Jon Stewart, The Daily Show. He only does one day a week now with The Daily Show. And he's a far leftist, but he's funny. And he's not afraid to call out the other side. Plus, kind of like the rest of the Democrats in the media, he's so mad at Joe Biden because he sees Joe Biden as delivering a President Donald Trump once again. Here's part of Jon Stewart's freak out on CNN yesterday.
What they're doing now is pointing fingers and asking each other, what did you know and when did you know it over something everybody else already knew?
The news is selling you a book about news they should have told you was news a year ago for free. It's just fun to watch them not only continue to push the book in light of this difficult news, but to actually frame this difficult news as perhaps even more of a reason to buy this book. I understand the excitement over an insidious Democratic cover-up about Joe Biden's mental decline. The thing is, though, it was a terrible cover-up because we all f***ing knew.
News anchors are profiting from not reporting the news.
Oh, yeah. Now, what you got to do, you got to go to x.com/Aaron Flint, and you got to watch the full Jon Stewart clip that I shared last night, because before he shared those remarks, he played a montage of Jake Tapper and about 85 other people on CNN just saying, well, in Jake Tapper's new book. And then there was soundbite after soundbite after soundbite of Jake Tapper saying, well, coming up next week, we're going to tell you the big news that we heard. And he's like, if you have news, share the freaking news. Why are you waiting till next week to share the news? So it was hilarious. Let's see. Megyn Kelly, though, she really held Jake Tapper's feet to the fire because she's like, come on, Jake. You knew exactly what was happening this entire time. And eventually, it looked like Jake Tapper was going to walk out of there.
This book tour has everything. I told you so's and apologies.
Knowing what I know now, obviously, I feel tremendous humility about my coverage. That Laura Trump interview, for example, she saw something that I did not see at the time, 100%. And I own that. After we did the research for this book and I realized how bad his acuity issues were, I called Laura Trump and I said, you were right.
Jake didn't see what else everybody saw. 72% of the country said Biden wasn't fit for office and shouldn't serve another term. That was a CNN poll. Jake thought Biden shaking hands with ghosts was just Joe being Joe.
The comments of Joe Biden making gaffes, saying things stupid, tripping, are all important. And all deserved to be aired and all deserved scrutiny. But as you know, Megan, because even though you look 30 years younger than me, we're roughly the same age, Joe Biden has been saying stupid things for decades. Okay?
I get and what you're saying, minimizes it too, because it was
more than saying stupid things.
But I'm telling you, like, over here in my ecosphere, we were covering all of these. Now, with the current White House, I have some connections. With the Joe Biden White House, I had none, but you did.
Everybody saw it, and Jake Tapper just didn't want to report it.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If there's anything we can all agree on about inflation, it's this. People, especially voters, hate it. Those in elected offices learned that lesson the hard way last year. But why it happened and how to avoid it in the future is something that elicits surprising levels of disagreement to this day. Many who voted last November saw it very plainly. Inflation was the fault of leadership. Specifically, the slowness with which the Federal Reserve reacted through a rapid escalation of prices and the huge amounts of stimulus pushed out the door by Congress and signed by two different presidents. But the fact that every other major economy has its own bout with inflation at the same time at least raises the possibility that other explanations exist. It was, in the jargon of economics, a severe supply shock, shutting down air cargo, keeping workers in their homes, closing schools, spikes in demand emptying store shelves. This near universal lockup in trade affected everyone, but many countries made the same mistakes as we did as well. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The Library of Congress is, well, the Library of Congress. But the President of the United States has the authority to fire the Librarian of Congress, even though the library itself is an entity belonging to the legislative branch. That's what happened recently when President Trump sacked former Librarian of Congress Carla Hayden. President Obama tapped Hayden as the Librarian of Congress. The Senate confirmed her to a 10-year term in 2016. Hayden was the first woman and first Black American to hold the position. The firing came just days after Hayden testified before a Senate panel about the library's annual budget request. The top Democrat on the House Administration Committee, Joe Morelli of New York, is introducing a bill to change the hiring and firing process for the librarian. Democrats argue that the executive branch should not be in charge of a position within the legislative branch. The architect of the Capitol was in a similarly strange position, nominated by the president and confirmed by the Senate. But Congress changed the law so that a congressional commission now chooses the person for that position. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, in the face of mounting challenges, 40 leaders from across the livestock industry recently convened at the Common Ground Summit at Denver's historic Brown Palace Hotel. And LMA Vice President and auction market owner Joe Goggins of Billings, Montana, says that their shared mission is to safeguard rural communities, ensure America's food independence, and preserve a way of life central to our nation's agricultural heritage.
One of the main mainstays of this country, of the United States of America, is rural America and our ability to produce food, our ability to have our food security, have food independence. And it was brought up many times that this is a national security issue. This is an issue that really we're a superpower. We're a superpower. Not because of energy, not because of our technology, but it's because of our food. And if we ever lose the ability to feed our people in a good portion of the world, we'll go down in several notches as far as our power on the world stage.
The time is now, he says, to turn challenges into solutions by speaking with one powerful united voice.
My hope is that the countryside will energize, that they'll see the importance of this, because irregardless, all of us within the egg industry, we want to have a voice. We want to have a say on what happens to us and how we're treated. And this is our chance.
And he says the industry as a whole must strike while the iron is hot and invites others to join the charge and sign your name by visiting commongroundsummit.net.
Could you imagine if we got 15, 20,000 people to sign on below the 40 people that were at that meeting, and we take that to D.C., we take that to the state legislatures, there's no way they can say no. There's no way they can say no.
Now, the Common Ground Summit stands as a testament to the power of collaboration, charting a path forward for America's livestock industry. And again, for more information on this initiative or to sign and join the charge, visit commongroundsummit.net. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this. Ranchers, mark your calendars for June 18th and join us in Hillsboro for the Montana Range Tour. Hear from Brian Shelton of the Savory Institute and tour Wicken Salt Creek Ranch, winners of the 2024 Leopold Conservation Award. This hands-on field day is your chance to learn from innovators in grazing and egg practices, and just $65 covers it all. Presentations, ranch tour, breakfast, lunch, and even transportation from Lewistown to Winifred. Register by May 28th at mtdnrc.formstack.com.
At AgWest, we know ag financing like you know office hours are all the hours. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag, and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. You can find us anytime, day or night, at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer. Equal housing lender.
Well, according to this week's USDA Crop Progress Report, 52% of the U.S. winter wheat crop is in still good to excellent condition, down 2 percentage points from last week, but still 3 percentage points ahead of last year's 49%. Meanwhile, 82% of the spring wheat crop is planted nationwide, and 78% of corn is also planted as of this past Sunday. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nemitz.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. Hey, one thing I wanted to do to kick off the show this morning, I want to share this with you early risers, because sometimes you guys miss out. Sometimes, the 6 o'clock hour is my favorite hour of the show, because we're just getting rolling. It's just the initial reactions to the things we're seeing and hearing and reading in the news. So it's kind of the first reaction, what's standing out. So sometimes we have the most fun here in the 6 o'clock hour of the show. But then later on in the morning, man, you know, we've got some great phone calls. We've got some great guests. We had Scott Jennings, CNN's Scott Jennings, the lone voice of common sense on CNN. He joined us on Montana Talks earlier this week, and I want to share that with you early risers here on the show. And I was going to do it already, but then we started having fun already covering a whole bunch of different things. Speaking of Scott Jennings, the DailyCaller.com has a story this morning. Scott Jennings triggers CNN panel, and apparently he triggered the panelists with just one question. One question. Here's the audio. This is my first time hearing it as well.
This is violent activity against law enforcement, isn't it?
It's a lot of pushing and shoving. I don't know. Okay.
Would a regular person, if they came and did that to a federal officer, get away with it?
A non-politician?
They might get pardoned.
If they showed up at a federal facility,
they might get pardoned by the president.
But were they charged? Were they charged? Were they convicted in court? Would a regular person get away with it?
You brought up what she was doing or not doing.
And of course the clip goes on there, but we'd have to get CNN's permission really to use the full thing there. But that just gives you a taste of. So Scott Jennings is like, what would happen if the average American citizen went and fought with federal law enforcement? And so, of course, he's referring to this Democrat congresswoman, LaMonica whatever, who was throwing her belly into it as she was fighting with law enforcement as they had an angry mob trying to storm this detention facility. That Democrat congresswoman has now been charged with assault. The U.S. attorney in New Jersey, Alina Haba, announcing those charges here earlier this week. Tom Holman talked about it on Sean Hannity's program last night.
I say, look, the president doesn't bluff. I don't bluff. I said the day after inauguration, when they started attacking ICE and Border Patrol and supporting sanctuary cities, I said, you can hate on ICE. You can support sanctuary cities. You can turn a blind eye to ICE taking public safety threats off your streets. But you can't cross a line, Sean. I said that 1,000 times. You can't cross a line of impediment. You can't cross a line of knowingly harboring, concealing illegal alien from ICE. You can't commit a criminal trespass. And you certainly can't put hands on an ICE officer, or you will be prosecuted. I said it 1,000 times. I meant it. President Trump means it. We already got 2 judges being prosecuted. Now we got this councilwoman being prosecuted. It's the right thing to do because they broke the law. They're not above the law either. They say President Trump wasn't above the law. Either are they.
You heard Congressman Swalwell. Sounds like there's going to be more of this, or he's promising more of this. What's your reaction to it?
All right. Maybe we'll share that reaction here later this morning, because coming up in 60 seconds, I want to share my conversation with CNN's Scott Jennings. We just played one soundbite from him. Our chat coming up. Great to have you with us here on Montana Talks. Thanks for your time this morning.
Hey, thanks for having me on. Thanks for the introduction, and thanks for watching CNN on one night. That was great. I appreciate it.
Well, if I see you, to be fair, I don't watch a lot of TV. I listen to a lot of it, but one of our listeners, Tim in Billings, he heard you were going to be on. He messaged me earlier. He says, "Can you ask Scott Jennings later this morning how incredibly hard it is to resist the temptation of doing the loser Fortnite dance over the bodies of the liberals that he slays on a nightly basis on the Communist News Network, figuratively speaking, of course?"
Well, you know, great question. That question would be appealing to my children. I have 4 boys, and so any question about Fortnite, they'd be more apt to answer than me. But, you know, I find great value in this debating show, because I think it's the only show like it on television. I mean, a lot of cable has become just 5 or 6 people sitting around agreeing with each other.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, congratulating each other on their increasing levels of smugness. And so CNN comes up with this idea last year, let's have a debating show. And we put it on the air during the election. It was really popular. And it was supposed to be temporary. But now we're still doing it because there's a hunger for the debate. So whether I'm ducking on someone, which is most often, or someone's ducking on me, not very often, the point is we're having a debate. We're having a real debate about serious issues. And even though sometimes I think the issues are framed, you know, pretty off the rails and wouldn't find their way back if it weren't for my intervention, I think the value is in the debate. And I believe in public discourse. I believe in civil discourse. And, you know, CNN, I got to give them credit. They put it on the air. They've left it there. And it's our highest rated show. And I think it's our fastest growing show. So you can tell the desire for debate is really out there.
Well, we're lucky to be on the radio because we take phone calls from anybody. And so it's always fun to hear from people that disagree and be heard by people that may not agree either. But it's important that there is that voice like you are in some of these dark places, like even Bill Maher from HBO. And he's expressing a lot more common sense recently. But I think you went onto his show on Friday and you spoke into some cultural issues that even resonated with his crowd.
They did. It was, what I do on CNN is not usually in front of a studio audience, so I wasn't sure what to expect out of the California audience. But yeah, we talked about immigration. We talked about some of the cultural rot that we have going on in America right now and the crisis that we're having among young people, young boys especially, but even some young women. And I was surprised. I said some things that I thought were pretty conservative, and that crowd was buying into it. And also, we talked a lot about Donald Trump's agenda, particularly as it relates to war and peace, or as I said on the air, peace and war, because he talks about peace more than he talks about war. And the crowd was kind of eating it up. And so what I walked out of there thinking about was there is a lot of cross-pollination right now on the right and left. You know, what we used to think of as red and blue, I think the old constructs are falling away. And Trump's actually assembled a pretty unique coalition that doesn't fit neatly in the old boxes that we used to have. That was one of the takeaways I had Friday, but I agree.
All right, let's hold that thought right there. More with CNN's Scott Jennings coming up right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, hold that thought on my conversation with CNN's Scott Jennings. I'll share more of that later on in the 7 o'clock hour, or maybe in a few more minutes here. But, yeah, earlier this morning, you know, we just had the Farm and Ranch report a few minutes ago from our friends with the Western Ag Network, and I saw that Breitbart News had a Farm and Ranch report of their own. Great headline at Breitbart News right now. They had an exclusive. Ag Secretary Brooke Rollins showcases the reality of unfair trade practices and why Trump is righting these wrongs. And then she also talked about the MAHA agriculture agenda, the Make America Healthy Again ag agenda, and how they go hand in hand in ushering in a new age of prosperity. We've now got just with us now Matt Boyle, who is the Washington Bureau Chief for Breitbart News. Matt, great to have you back on Montana Talks. What were the highlights from your conversation with Brooke Rollins?
Yeah, look, we spent a little over a half hour with the secretary yesterday. We hosted a big event. We've been hosting these big events in downtown Washington, D.C. here over the last couple of months. We're trying to get past the, you know, the news of the day or the headlines and get really deep into the issues with these leaders and folks in the president's cabinet. And we're hoping to do more. Big conversation with Secretary Rollins yesterday. The big thing that she talked about, she just got back from the United Kingdom. President Trump had sent her over to the UK to go negotiate out and talk about the core agriculture parts of the trade deal that he announced with the United Kingdom right before he went over to the Middle East. And Secretary Rollins also has trips coming up to several other nations like India and Japan and Italy and Argentina. I think that she's going to be very active in these trade negotiations worldwide because agriculture is a huge part of that. And some of the stuff that they were able to secure in the trade negotiations with the British include, you know, a better opportunities for American ranchers to be able to sell American beef worldwide, particularly in the UK. You know, as we know, exporting stuff that we grow and make and raise here in America has been very difficult thanks to globalist trade policies, non-tariff barriers, trade barriers that we face around the world. So I think America, and then they also dropped the ethanol tariff that the British had on our ethanol from 19% to 0%. So there's other things in there for rice farmers and other things too. But the I think that those things are really interesting, and I know that the president and his team are going to be working on similar stuff. And Secretary Rollins is a huge part of that with other nations around the world. And I think that, you know, our ranchers, particularly, you know, a lot of them are in Montana, are going to very much benefit from this.
Yeah, because they've seen the way they've been discriminated against, like you say, by the past globalist policies. And we'd get the crumbs off the trade table. And now we're getting a major seat at the table, not just for trade practices, but also when it comes to the MAHA, the Make America Healthy Again agenda. You mentioned ethanol. That's, you know, as we make a push towards, you know, healthier options in our food industry, well, that's good news for beef, because beef is, you know, healthy, but also beef tallow is making a comeback. But that's why, you know, talking about ethanol and some of these biofuels is also, I think, being pushed by the ag department, because they don't want to see these seed oil producers lose out in the push to seed oils. And so when you now, through these trade policies, get ethanol in there, that's another big one.
Yeah, sure, no doubt. And another big thing that we talked about, and she was very fired up about this, so if you go look at her X account, her Twitter account, she put out a clip about this, was the, I don't know if you're familiar with the story of the Maud family in South Dakota.
Yeah.
Where there was like this dispute over a fence line, and the Biden Justice Department sent people after them, and they criminally charged them and tried to weaponize the federal government against this poor family, right? Like a ranching family that's been there for generations. And the Brooke Rollins, in alongside Pam Bondi, the attorney general, ended that as soon as they came into office, and they cleaned up that case. And now they met with the Maud family. We talked to her about this, and they've also established at the USDA a tip line so that people can tell them about weaponization if they're experiencing it. I think she has all that info out there on her her.
Very interesting. Yeah, we'll have to share that with our listeners for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, and so I think that that was really fascinating, because, I mean, it's like when you think of weaponization, you think of, you know, what the politicians here on the East Coast are going through. But it's really everybody was facing weaponization. Like, the Biden Justice Department weaponized the government against ranchers and farmers over fence line dispute, right? Like, over whether or not it's federal land. I mean, that's insane, right? Like, think about that for a minute, right? Like, that's, I mean, you know, they've been using that land for forever, and nobody really knew if it was the federal government land or not or whatever. Why'd they have to go charge them criminally and try to put them in prison? Right? Like, that's insane. That's totally nuts. And, you know, there's much more civil ways to solve that.
Well, that's why when President Trump first came on the scene and was talking about the deep state, it immediately resonated back here in the Rocky Mountain West and in the West, because we have seen how federal government agencies and this deep state bureaucracy have targeted agriculture, in particular the logging industry, mining, everyday people that just want to access a road or a trail to get to their favorite, you know, hunting lands, that now see, you know, gates and locks on the fences because of the radical environmentalists. What stood out to you from the MAHA movement, the Make America Healthy Again agenda, and how that ties in here as well? Because, yeah, I think it's interesting how they're promoting beef, and I could see where RFK Jr. eventually will make a big pivot on beef tallow, for example, over seed oils. And so they're trying to, you know, implement that portion of the MAHA agenda while at the same time also supporting the seed producers as well.
Yeah, look, so one of the things that Secretary Rollins said, and I think that she has a great working relationship with Secretary Kennedy, and the two of them have been working together, but she's also viewing this as a balancing act. Like, so this is not, you know, what we have to do is we have to be careful that any moves that we're making, A, don't destroy the economy, and B, are actually in the interest of the health, the public health of the American people. And so, so those things, I think that she kind of represents the voice of reason, and you saw her talking about that a little bit. And I think that that's an important thing. And if you look at the polling data out there on this stuff, I think that there is a huge support for making America healthy again, right? Like, there are a lot of things. So I asked her about, one of the things you're seeing is a lot of, American dairy producers, have agreed to voluntarily, without a government regulation, remove various artificial colorings from dairy products that they send to schools for the National School Lunch Program as of next year. So there are proactive steps that industry's taking, but at the same time, there are you know, maybe some more regulations that the government should do. They need to be careful about this. They need to think it through very carefully, and I think that that weighs on her in a big way, and I think that it weighs on someone like RFK in a big way. And I think that that the MAHA agenda is definitely a critical part of President Trump's coalition here. I mean, I remember when RFK endorsed President Trump in the election last year. You know, it doesn't often feel like endorsements make a difference. The RFK endorsement was a huge shot in the arm for President Trump during the campaign. There's a reason why there was so much energy behind him for it, because I think what he did is he brought together a lot of people that weren't necessarily in the MAGA movement that are now.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
well,
and make America healthy.
That kind of ties in with what I was chatting with CNN's Scott Jennings about, which is, like, he talked about how all of these typical left-right coalitions, President Trump has just blown those old coalitions apart and redrawn the lines here. I saw, who was it here? Is it the Washington Post or somebody? They're complaining about how Democrats have an online problem and how they need to find the liberal Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan was a liberal. They lost him. And so that's what's so funny about that whole story. Same with RFK.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this is one of the things I asked the secretary about, because one of the things that happened when she was over in the UK last week is that the UK prime minister, who's Labour Party, which is like basically their Democrat Party over the UK, came out and said that, gave this big speech about immigration. And it sounded like something Donald Trump would say, right? Like, he came out and said that they shouldn't take migrants anymore who don't speak English, that the immigration doesn't really help the economy. And that the cultural experiment for these globalist types were a total failure. I'm paraphrasing.
Yeah, what Trump says just resonates with people all over the world. Yeah, great point.
Your morning cup of Sean. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The president went to the Capitol today to urge Republicans to stop complaining and pass the budget bill. Look, and nobody's going to get everything they want, but this is what we are getting. The tax cuts will be made permanent. Otherwise, we get the largest tax increase in American history. There will be no tax on tips. You know what? When I worked in the service industry and I was a busboy, waiter, bartender, I would have loved no tax on tips. When I worked in construction, I always worked overtime. I would have loved no tax on overtime. That's for working men and women. Democrats, you want to vote against it? All you'll do is confirm to the American people what we've been saying. You are the party of out-of-touch coastal elites.
The conservative underground meets later today on the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, you exhausted every day. Maybe you have the 3 p.m. crash or struggling with memory issues, having a hard time focusing. You have to stop and pay attention to what I'm about to tell you. I never run out of energy, and I'm fully focused. Strong Cell, it's a revolutionary supplement that has truly changed my life. I use it every single day. It gives you natural energy, helps me stay focused all day long, and just makes me feel better overall. Whether you're a working mom or dad, or homeschooling your kids, or some of our loyal men and women behind the wheel across the country, try Strong Cell. It'll change your life. Linda uses it as well.
I use it every single day. I have my kids using it, my parents using it, my in-laws using it, my friends using it, and I am telling you, it is immediate. is one of the only ways you can get NADH on the market, and it works.
Go to HannityStrong.com, use promo code Hannity, you get a special 20% off any order. Once again, HannityStrong.com, and Strong Cell believes in their products so much, you get a 60-day no-risk policy. Invest in your health. I did it. It changed my life.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. For today, we'll see a blend of clouds and sunshine developing with high temperatures in the upper 50s to near that 60-degree mark for Bozeman with mid-60s for Billings. For tonight, partly cloudy skies in the upper 30s to near 40. Thursday, a chance for some afternoon showers, mid-60s for Bozeman but low 70s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
So this was interesting. There was a petition before the Montana DNRC to close down state land for recreational shooting in Gallatin County, Montana. Gary Marbot, the president of the Montana Shooting Sports Association, came out clearly against a proposed firearm discharge ban, but he also speculates if something else may be in the works with Montana Fish, Wildlife, and Parks. We've got the backstory and much more. Check it out, MontanaTalks.com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump back into my conversation with CNN's Scott Jennings. By the way, that a lot of that back and forth from Breitbart with the USDA Ag Secretary Rollins. Go to x.com/AaronFlint. I shared some highlights there. But, yeah, back to it. CNN's Scott Jennings, we were talking about his appearance with Bill Maher on HBO on Friday, another liberal that has just lost it with the current Democrat Party.
Friday, but I agree with you about Bill. He is a voice for free speech and free debate, and he is a pretty honest, good faith guy, so I really enjoyed being on the show.
Well, and it was interesting, too, because as you were, you know, talking out against pornography, the crowd kind of, you know, seemed to laugh at you, want to mock you. But then when you tied it into, you know, young women thinking that they have to sell themselves on OnlyFans and things like that, they actually got it. It actually resonated with them. And so I thought that was a really interesting back and forth. You talk about, you know, instead of war and peace, now it's the party of peace and war. It's very interesting because one of the things I hear from our fellow conservatives is like, you know, what they'll say is it's so remarkable that Scott Jennings is such a strong voice in support of President Donald Trump, because they'll say, you know, he was a Bush guy. And for whatever reason, a lot of Republicans who worked for older Republicans back in the day, nobody's ever as good as their guy, and they never want to, you know, they never want to support the next up-and-comer because nobody's ever going to be as good as their guy. How do you, as somebody who worked for Bush, then also, you know, support President Donald J. Trump?
Well, a good question, and I'll be the first to admit I didn't get it at first. You know, I was skeptical of Trump. I didn't, you know, wasn't from the Republican Party at all, and he came from the outside. I wasn't trained to believe that someone like that should be able to come in and take over a party. I didn't get it, and I get it now. And I feel closer to Donald Trump today than I probably have ever felt, because I think he is standing up on two issues that are fundamental: the future of Western civilization and the right to free speech. If we lose either of those battles, we won't be around to argue about tariffs or anything else, because those are the fundamental issues that I think are defining our world politics today, and Trump is our leader in this battle. But I also thought that, you know, the previous Republicans, I mean, I think the right and the left are headed in two very different directions, and it's the right that's going to stand up for free speech and Western civilization. So as somebody who voted for Bush, I happily voted 3 times for Donald Trump, and I've never regretted it one moment, and feel really good about it today because the alternative last year was a disaster.
You've got a book that gives an unprecedented inside look at how President Trump has retaken Washington by storm. And, his trip to the Middle East last week is just symbolic of not just taking – but you talk about how he's not just working to, you know, save America and restore common sense to American government, but this is about Western civilization itself.
Well, look, the barbarians are at the gates. I mean, look around the world. What happened on October the 7th, the migration crisis in Europe, frankly, the migration crisis in the United States. the free speech crisis in Europe, the free speech crisis here. I mean, we have people who fundamentally hate Western civilization and hate the American experiment and would love to get rid of it all. I mean, they think America is fundamentally rotten at the core. I mean, that's what a lot of people on the left believe. And so I wanted to write this book. I told the president in February, I thought 100 books would be written, you know, taking shots at him about the first 100 days. But I thought there should be a book that got to the core of what I think he's really doing and what most conservatives believe. He's standing up for Western civilization, and he's shaking up Washington. That's how we see it. I think he's met that standard. And the book is, I'm in editing right now on it. It's been an amazing process. It's my first book, but you can pre-order it today. It's called Revolution of Common Sense. Go on Amazon and pre-order it, and it'll be to you hopefully by November, December.
All right. Yeah, great to catch up with CNN's Scott Jennings. There's more to that conversation. I think there's at least a couple of more minutes to go. You can check out the full audio on the Montana Talks podcast. Download the Montana Talks app. You'll have it right there. By the way, with the Montana Talks app, you can send us a quick message as well. A great way to be heard across Montana. General Michael Flynn is coming to Bozeman, Montana. We just got a special video for you. I'll share that next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If there's anything we can all agree on about inflation, it's this. People, especially voters, hate it. Those in elected offices learned that lesson the hard way last year. But why it happened and how to avoid it in the future is something that elicits surprising levels of disagreement to this day. Many who voted last November saw it very plainly. Inflation was the fault of leadership. Specifically, the slowness with which the Federal Reserve reacted through a rapid escalation of prices and the huge amounts of stimulus pushed out the door by Congress and signed by two different presidents. But the fact that every other major economy had its own bout with inflation at the same time at least raises the possibility that other explanations exist. It was, in the jargon of economics, a severe supply shock, shutting down air cargo, keeping workers in their homes, closing schools, spikes in demand, emptying store shelves. This near universal lockup in trade affected everyone, but many countries made the same mistakes as we did as well. I'm Patrick Berkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.